Quedrig vida vegani tanda paranu Sambhestitandagata-sapta-vitashtikaya
Kwe drig vidadhi ganitanda paranucharya
Kwe drig vidadhi ganitanda paranucharya
Bhatta dvaroma vivarasya chate mahitvam
Bhatta dvaroma vivarasya chate mahitvam
Vaham tamo maharaham kakaragni vargu
Vaham tamo maharaham kakaragni vargu
Sambeshti tanda gata sapta vitashtikaya
Sambeshti tanda gata sapta vitashtikaya
Kvedrig vidha vigani tanda paranucharya
Kvedrig vidha vigani tanda paranucharya
Vatadvaroma vivarasya chate mahitvam
Vatadvaroma vivarasya chate mahitvam
Someone else, please.
Kvaham tamo mahataham kaya chapni babu
Kvaham tamo mahataham Sambeshti tanda gata sapta vitashtikaya
Kvedrigvidhavi
gati tanda paranucharya Vaham tamo mahadaham kacharagni varbhu Sambeshti tanda gata sapta vitashtikaya Vedrik vidhadi ganitanda paranucharya Vatadvaroma vivarasya chate mahitvam
Kvaham tamo mahataham kacharagni varbhu
Kvaham tamo mahataham kacharagni varbhu
Sambeshti tanda gata sapta vitashtikaya
Sambeshti tanda gata sapta vitashtikaya
Vedrik vidhavi ganitanda paranucharya
Vedrik vidhavi ganitanda paranucharya
Vatadvaroma vivarasya chate mahitvam
Vatadvaroma vivarasya chate mahitvam Sapta-vitashtikaya Kredrik-vidhati-gatitanta-varayucharya Sapta-vitashtikaya.
Also.
Ether. Jada.
Jada.
Air.
Air.
Agni.
Agni.
Fire.
Fire.
Ba.
Ba.
Water.
Water.
Boom.
Boom.
Earth.
Earth.
Sambeshita.
Sambeshita.
Surrounded by.
Surrounded by.
Andagata.
Andagata.
A pot-like universe.
A pot-like universe.
Saptavitashti.
Saptavitashti.
Seven spans.
Seven spans.
Kayaha.
Kayaha.
Body.
Body.
Qua.
Qua.
Where.
Where.
Idrik.
Idrik.
Such.
Such.
Vida.
Vida.
Like.
Like.
Abhiganita.
Abhiganita.
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Anda.
Anda.
Universes.
Universes.
Paraanu.
Paraanu.
Like the atomic dust.
Like the atomic dust.
Charya.
Charya.
Moving.
Moving.
Vata adva.
Vata adva.
Air holes.
Air holes.
Roma.
Roma.
Of hair on the body.
Of hair on the body.
Divasya,
divasya,
of the holes,
of the holes.
Cha,
cha,
also,
also.
Te,
te,
your,
your.
Mahitvam,
mahitvam,
greatness,
greatness.
Translation of purport by the disciples. What am I? A small creature measuring seven spans of my own hand. I am enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. Please repeat. What am I?
What am I?
A small creature.
A small creature.
Measuring seven spans.
Measuring seven spans.
Of my own hand.
Of my own hand.
I am enclosed.
I am enclosed.
In a pot-like universe.
In a pot-like universe.
Composed of material nature.
Composed of material nature.
The total material energy.
The total material energy.
False ego.
False ego.
Ether.
Ether.
Air.
Air.
Water.
Water.
And earth.
And earth.
And what is your glory?
And what is your glory?
Unlimited universes.
Unlimited universes.
Pass through the pores of your body.
Pass through the pores of your body.
Just as particles of dust.
Just as particles of dust.
Pass through the openings.
Pass through the openings.
Of a screened window.
Of a screened window.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 5, text 72. Srila Prabhupada gives the following purport for this verse. When Lord Brahma, after having stolen all Krishna's cows and cowherd boys, returned and saw that the cows and boys were still roaming with Krishna, he offered this prayer in his defeat. A conditioned soul, even one so great as Brahma, who manages the affairs of the entire universe, cannot compare to the personality of Godhead. For he can produce numberless universes simply by the spiritual rays emanating from the pores of his body. Material scientists should take lessons from the utterances of Sri Brahma regarding our insignificance in comparison with God. In these prayers of Brahma, there is much to learn for those who are falsely puffed up by the accumulation of power. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Volume 1, Chapter 14, Srila Prabhupada further comments on this verse. Lord Brahma realized his actual position. He is certainly the supreme teacher of this universe, in charge of the production of material nature, which consists of the complete material elements, false ego, sky, air, fire, water, and earth. Such a universe may be gigantic, but it can be measured just as we measure our body as seven spans. Generally, everyone's personal bodily measurement is calculated to be seven spans of his hand. This particular universe may appear to be a very gigantic body, but it is nothing but the measurement of seven spans for Lord Brahma. Aside from this universe, there are unlimited other universes outside the jurisdiction of this particular Lord Brahma. Just as innumerable atomic, infinitesimal fragments pass through the holes of a screen window, so millions and trillions of universes in their seedling form are coming out of the bodily pores of Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu is but a part of the plenary expansion of Krishna. Under these circumstances, although Lord Brahma is a supreme creature within this universe, what is his importance in the presence of Lord Krishna? Om Agana Timirandasya Vyana Jana Shalakaya Tashuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Namo Vidishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svaram Rupa Kramayam Tadati Swabhantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Vandanamivitam Tam Sajivam Sadhitam Sadhutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Vanam Sahagana Namita Shri Shashatam Vitamsya Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinavamano Jagapate Ropesha Uriga Ganta Vrava Ganta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rahe Vrindaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Ramani Hari Priye Mancha Vrava Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadhyaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 What am I? A small creature, measuring seven spans with my own hand. I am enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. So, Lord Brahma exhibiting great humility here in his expression to Lord Brahma. So, Lord Brahma is exhibiting his humility here and offering prayers to the personality of Godhead. When hearing these prayers, I'm reminded of this pastime, I've been here so many times, but when I think it was Kamal Krishna Maharaj was being explained by Srila Prabhupada, I've heard it explained different ways, different versions, but basically how he was speaking with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada must have been recognizing some propensity or tendency to be a little proud. And he explained that in this room, in this house, there are a few people who are standing in this house. There's many rooms. And this, in many rooms in this house, there are a few people in this house, which is one house on this street with many rooms that has many people in it. And this street is just one street in this city with many houses that have many rooms with many people. And this city is just one city in this country that has many cities with many streets with many houses with many rooms with many people. And this country is just one country of many countries on this planet that has many cities with many streets with many houses with many rooms with many people in each one. And this planet is just simply one planet in this universe where there are many planets with many countries that have many cities. And then he said, and this universe is simply one universe amongst millions and billions of universes. And this universe is simply the size of a mustard seed. And then he picked up a bag of mustard seeds. And he said, and it's just like one mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. All this universes. So then he made the comment, how significant are we? So if we think like this, it's very easy as we walk around to consider ourselves the center of the universe and think that everything is revolving around us. But when you really begin to look around and see how many people there are, how many people are wandering around thinking that they're the center of the universe and everything's revolving around them. And here in the purport, and we can see through the exhibition of extreme humility by Lord Brahma, that, and using his intelligence here, applying correctly, he's saying, you know, who am I? What am I? You know, simply a small creature. So Lord Brahma is considering himself a small creature. Now, I don't say, it says, of course, seven spans of his hand, but I'm not quite sure how big Lord Brahma's hand is, but as far as I've understood, Lord Brahma is probably a little bit bigger than your average tall or big person here on this planet. Probably compared to us, he's quite gigantic, being the original creator of the entire universe, having his own planet. And he's considering himself just a small creature. And then he's saying, and I'm just enclosed in a little pot-like universe. You know, so therefore, he's even minimizing the universe. He's minimizing his own creation, in one sense. He's actually saying, you know, because he's the original creator, or engineer, as we often say, of this material universe, and he's just saying that I'm just contained in this little pot-like universe. I mean, if we do anything or we become creative in any way, you know, like this, someone was sharing with me the other day how when they make garlands for the deities or they have the opportunity, then of course we know if you ever do any service for the deities, if you dress or anything on that day, when you look at the deities, the darshan is not like any other day. You're just looking at the deities thinking, you know, well, I did that, you know, and are people noticing how I dressed? And, you know, often that mentality or consciousness is there for us to become so proud of whatever it is that we do. You know, we create anything, straighten something up, we clean something, we, you know, whatever it is, a simple little thing, and we become so proud, and we wonder, is everyone noticing, you know, what I've done? This amazing thing, and just waiting for the glorification to come. So we'll just speak of Lord Brahma, who created the entire universe. Everything is going on, you know, because of his immense engineering capacity and skills. And here he's basically belittling his entire creation, and also himself. And he's basically humbling himself before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's saying, and who are you? I'm just this small creature, you know, sitting in this pot-like universe. But actually, these universes, he says, unlimited universes like this are emanating simply from one pore of your skin. And then the analogy is given, although I was trying to find out where this term, the screen window, came from, because it's not there in the Sanskrit, nor is it in Prabhupada's translation. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says it's dust particles pass through an open window. But you can imagine, if you've ever seen a screen window, everyone knows what a screen window is. You don't often get screens in this country, but tiny, tiny spaces. And you can see, even if you have a screen, so much dust manages to get in. You know, so many dust particles are passing through. In the same way, so many of these pot-like universes are just emanating from Mahavishnu's pores. And who is Mahavishnu? Mahavishnu is Sri Maharaj, is saying at the end that Mahavishnu is but a plenary expansion of Krishna. So he's just simply an expansion of Krishna. So where does Lord Brahma stand in comparison to Krishna? You know, so he's really accepting a mood of great humility and offering these prayers. recently I've been speaking quite a bit about insignificance. I was reading yesterday the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where it's explaining or helping us, because of course this mood of insignificance or understanding our real size in comparison to the Supreme Lord is utterly vital. And at the same time, a question that's often asked by devotees is, when this mood of humility is discussed, that, you know, if I'm so humble, then how can I ever do anything? You know, or I become so humble and find myself so insignificant that even some people say that I may become, you know, lose my self-confidence or become depressed or not be able to move or do anything because I just feel so insignificant that I actually feel useless. You know, sometimes we sign, you know, we say your servant. Sometimes people sign your useless servant, such and such, you know, making themselves feel so insignificant. I remember I signed a letter once like that to a senior devotee, and he corrected me, and he said, "Stop being so useless and become useful and do something for Krishna." And I was thinking, oh, okay. I'm just going to throw a little spanner in the works. You know, you're trying to think yourself so useless. I mean, is the point that we think ourselves so useless that we become useless? Is that really the point? We actually become useless? I mean, so you're discussing how actually this mood of insignificance is simply the way that we understand where the source of any greatness that we have is coming from, that it's ultimately coming from Krishna. Because Krishna is the origin of everything. And then Buddha Bhava Samamita. That, you know, he's the source of all spiritual and material worlds, and everything is emanating from him. And the wise who perfectly know this, they engage in his devotional service with all their hearts. So if you engage in something with all of your heart, usually it's not in a mood of uselessness. It's in a mood of understanding that I'm engaging completely with everything that I have, with all my love, all my devotion. Why? Understanding that this is for Krishna, because he's the origin of everything, because it's simply his anyway. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that I'm the ability in man. So he's the ability that allows us to move, that allows us to do anything. So simply by performing our actions and activities as an offering to him, everything that we're meant to be doing is meant to be an offering to him, then it's not that the offering should be useless. If you're cooking the Raj Boga and you're thinking, I'm so useless and this is just a useless offering and who cares, and we just cook it in some useless way, you know, we should feel ourselves insignificant, but somehow at the same time we've been given by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, by the mercy of the spiritual master, we've been given some service opportunity to do something for Krishna. So we should do that with all our heart. We should give everything that we have in order to perform that activity as an offering to Krishna, to make it as nice as possible. The difficulty comes when we do it nice and someone says, "Oh, that's so wonderful the way that you did that." And you think, you see, finally someone has recognized my great qualities. And we were reading last night in Virgyan Prabhu's book about japa. He was explaining about the wicked mind. And he was explaining some very intricate and very nice points about the mind. He was stating that actually the mind is situated in goodness by its constitution, because it's neutral. But the intelligence becomes influenced by lust, by bad knowledge or misinformation in the world, and then it becomes influenced by passion, and therefore it influences the mind to act. And the nature of the mind is of two principles, which is what? Sankalpa and vikalpa, which means to accept and to reject. And then he said, just like the mind is always trying to protect the false ego, because he was stating that actually the problem isn't the mind, the problem is the false ego. The problem is this false identification. If we're not falsely identifying, just like the Gita says in the sixth chapter, that the mind should become our best friend. And with the help of the mind, one can actually make spiritual advancement. But he's saying the problem isn't the mind, the problem is the false ego, that we falsely identify with this body and with this mind and, you know, this intelligence. But he was saying, so the tendency is that the mind is, or the nature of the mind is vikalpa and sankalpa, to reject and to accept. And he said, just like the mind is doing this in order to protect that false identity, because it's become, you know, the mind is sort of like software, interrogation software, and the intelligence is the data. And it's just interrogating this data, and if the data that it's interrogating is completely contaminated with lust, then it's going to also just present lustful or passionate, you know, images or, you know, consciousness. So he's saying, so in this state, the mind is trying to protect the false ego, and therefore it accepts and rejects. Just like if someone criticizes, then immediately that person becomes my enemy. And if someone glorifies, then this person, he is understood very nicely. He is my friend. He is my dear friend. So like this, when someone appreciates or glorifies us, then the danger is there that the mind will act and rise up, and false pride will flare up. But if, as soon as someone appreciates or glorifies us, as Srila Prabhupada was so often being glorified, and he would always pass on that glorification to who? To his spiritual master. Even in some situations, many situations in fact, Srila Prabhupada would say that I'm actually not doing anything. And then he would thank all of his disciples. And he would say that all of you are doing everything. And he would say that actually my guru, my spiritual master, has empowered all of you. He has sent all of you to help me. So this is the mood of humility, even though it's so obvious Srila Prabhupada was empowered, you know, by Krishna to be used as an instrument to manifest so many amazing things for his glorification in this world. So he gives all credit to the spiritual master. Gives all credit to Krishna. He passes all the credit back. Because basically, understanding that I'm insignificant, that I'm not doing anything, that it's only by the mercy of Krishna that any of this is possible. And if I don't offer everything back to Krishna, if I don't give everything back to him, understanding that it's not anything to do with me. Krishna can take away our big brains and our massive intelligence just like that. He can cripple us in a moment. We're completely dependent on Krishna, no matter how significant we may think we are. It's only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that we have any capacity to even breathe, or to speak of think. But still, we have to endeavor with all of our heart to make some offering to Krishna. And that offering, according to our capacity, the pastime is there, Lord Ram building the bridge, and Hanuman is bringing big boulders, and the little ant is, or chipmunk, whatever it is, throwing in the little pebbles, But for Krishna, for God, both are equal. Both are endeavoring according to their capacity. But if we have the capacity to throw big boulders and we're simply kicking little stones, then that means we're not actually doing the right thing. And it's explained that Krishna, he accepts what we offer, but he's more concerned about what we're holding back. So we can say, oh, Krishna, here's something. Right? But what are we holding on to? What are we really attached to? What are we holding back on that we're not able to give and offer to Krishna? It's all his anyway. He's going to take it back later anyhow, whether you like it or not. You're not going to be able to hold on to anything. Why? Because it was never yours to begin with. Krishna simply allowed you to have it according to some capacity. And if we don't engage it in his service, then we lose it. What's that saying? Use it or lose it. And he'll take it away. He'll give it to somebody else that will use it. So for us, we have to engage every ounce of the capacity that Krishna has gifted us with in his service. We have to give all of our energy, all of our talent, all of our intelligence in trying to push forward the opportunity for others to have exposure to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was so expert at pulling out, that inspiration from the devotees to really give everything that they could give to serve Krishna. And at the same time, we have to perform that activity, understanding ourselves an insignificant servant. Understanding that actually all of this that I'm giving is simply Krishna's anyway. So it's one of those apparent contradictions sometimes. One senior devotee shared with me that the art of Krishna consciousness is the capacity to balance two apparent contradictory thoughts within the mind and still carry on with your service. So it seems, how can I do something great for Krishna and at the same time still feel insignificant? Well, that's the balance. That's the battle. To constantly remember that I'm just a servant of Krishna and Krishna is empowering me if I'm able to do anything. So like that, we have to continue to give our all in every way to serve Krishna. Anyone has any comments or questions at this point? Anything? Yes,
Is it right thinking to think this thing about confidence and insignificance? Is it the right thinking to think I'm one of God's creations?
Mm-hmm. Is that the correct thinking?
Then it gives you confidence.
Yes, exactly. That's the we're all sparks of God's splendor. There should be no, in one sense, lack of confidence because God's there supporting us at every moment. So we're all sparks of Krishna's divine splendor, and we all have the capacity to shine in our own unique way. Just we should shine for Krishna's pleasure, not shine for the television cameras or for the news reporters. Or shine for our own false pride and false ego, but we should shine because we know I'm just a spark of his divine splendor. He's given me an opportunity not to shine so that I can be recognized, but to shine to manifest his amazing glory so that people can see what it is that someone who's a devotee can do. What it is, how Krishna can empower. If Prabhupada had wanted to play small, he could have remained in Vrindavan and Radha Damodar temple with the beautiful darshan of Rupa Goswami's samadhi, just absorbing himself in the books of the Goswamis and Srimad Bhagavatam and the writings of previous acharyas. And in one sense, that even wouldn't have been deemed small. that's still a big deal. To give up family life, to go to such a humble abode after, you know, leading such a once and a successful business life. But he didn't do that. He gave up all of that and put himself out on a limb, put himself completely out on the edge, and Krishna just empowered him. Krishna took care of him. Krishna engaged everything, every bit of his capacity in his service and just made him glorious. And look at the amazing, you know, work that he's done to this very day, even after, you know, what is it, 34 years since Srila Prabhupada left, still to this day, brand new people are walking in off the streets, having gotten a book and read just a few of Srila Prabhupada's words. Still, as it's explained, in sound vibration, he's carrying on and inspiring so many people. Why? Because he first of all, he took up the order of his spiritual master, understanding that this is the only hope, and he just gave everything that he had to serve Krishna. So like that, we're all little sparks of Krishna's splendor. We may not be able to shine like Prabhupada in one sense, or like Hanuman and the little chipmunk. You know, they're different. But to our capacity, we should shine as much as possible and give all the glory to Krishna. So yeah, there's nothing to feel, have lack of confidence. In fact, that's, what is it? Nishchayad, right? Utsaha nishchayad. Nishchayad daryat. Utsaha means enthusiasm, nishchayad means confidence. The one has to endeavor with enthusiasm and have confidence. But it's not confidence in just me or my capacity, but confidence that even my capacity is rubbish. Even I'm useless in one sense. But Krishna, I'm completely confident that even Krishna can use this fragile instrument to do something if I just make myself a puppet in his hands. And what does that mean? It means we have to beg Krishna. We have to become beggars. Means when we chant the holy name, we have to beg the holy name. Please, please, please engage me in your service. When we come before Krishna, we have to beg Krishna, please, I'm so proud. I'm so puffed up. You've given me so much. Still, you know, I want to offer it back to you. I want to be your servant. I want to serve you. Please engage me in your service. This is the mood of Lord Brahma, who's better than every single one of us in one sense put together in his material capacity. And here he is with his head on the floor at the lotus feet of Krishna, expressing how he's just insignificant. Okay, a little bit of time. Anyone has any other question, comment, correction? Please correct me.
Okay, I'm wondering if you can explain a little bit more. You mentioned humility. That also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of the songs that Dvaina Atmani Vedana Bhakti Chabaran. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Tinadati Shunichana. So how both are related in this figure? Can you please explain?
Yeah, can you explain?
Humility is connected with Dvaina Atmani Vedana Bhakti Chabaran.
Yeah.
As well as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say,
complete surrender.
Yeah.
And humility is connected with complete surrender, and how humility is connected with.
With Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Tinadu Pishuni Chana, Tara Pishai Chana. How is it related?
Okay. I'm not sure if I understand exactly. Does anyone, do you understand?
I think it's maybe if you quoted that verse with six symptoms of surrender in the first two. Which is basically
humility. Is humility.
Yeah.
There is humility, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, but I still, I mean, because the whole talk has been about humility and how the point of humility is that we come to a point where we surrender to Krishna and
yeah.
become empowered
yeah.
by Krishna to perform, you know, great service, wonderful service. But are you saying that it seems that
sometimes we feel that we have humility but we cannot do service for Krishna, whereas too much ego, false ego. Sometimes we have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So how is both are related, how we get up from all these
How we get off from this, okay. So am I understanding correctly in that you're saying that, yeah, but we feel so proud sometimes that we don't feel humble enough to do any service. Well, just do the service anyway and don't worry, Krishna will purify you.
That's
my experience. He definitely brings you to your knees whether you like it or not. It's not that you run away from the process, you still get in the shower. You wouldn't say, I'm too dirty to get in the shower, you know, the shower's not going to work. So you still perform the service, and you get purified, you know. Because, let's be honest, billions of lifetimes we've had here, you know, building up the false impression of who we are. So pride is going to be there, so many second habit natures, as Prabhupada calls them. So many things are there that are impediments in the process of devotional service. But we're so fortunate that in this life we've come in contact with a pure devotee. So that pure devotee is our qualification. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's giving us an opportunity to become purified. And we have to cultivate humility. Humility is also a byproduct of performing devotional service. It's kind of a qualification to do it properly, and it's also a byproduct of performing it, because when we come together in sangam of devotees, right, and we rub against one another with our sharp edges and our false pride and our false ego, then, you know, it gets smoothed over naturally, and we become a little humble. So the point isn't that we should feel too proud to do any service, or to try to do something for Krishna. I mean, Srila Prabhupada went to America, he engaged so many proud people in doing whatever they could, you know. He just tried to get them to do something glorious for Krishna. And look at the amazing things that they did. And none of that will ever go in vain. None of it. We hear stories to this day of devotees who did such amazing service in the beginning, maybe even they go away. And then at the end of their life, Prabhupada comes to them and, you know, in a dream, in a vision, or somehow, and takes them back. Because they have become an ashrasi pratibhaya divijite. There's no loss or diminution on this path. And just a little bit of service can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. And this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's giving Krishna Prema to the scum of the earth, like me. He's given me the opportunity for the supreme perfection. But I just have to be willing to try to stay in the fire. Despite all of my impediments, all of the obstacles of the mind, all the anarthas in the heart, just stay in the fire. Keep the rod in the fire. And in that, in and of itself is humility. Isn't it? It means that I'm willing to just stay here and try to get purified, knowing that I'm impure. Doesn't mean we give up. Doesn't mean that we go away. I'm so proud that I can't do anything. I should just maybe sit and chant. You chant and you do at the same thing, you know? That's my understanding of prayer. I understood your question. I'll have to stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila
Prabhupada
ki jai.
Jai.
Jai. Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.
Shine,
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 shine, shine, shine, shine,